So as Lina said, we're kind of thinking about light. And you might think that's just a thing because we're in the season of Advent, and that is obviously a happy coincidence. But actually, this came because beginning of last week, I just felt to get up early, earlier than I usually do, not early for some of you, started reading my Bible and just felt drawn to a passage in Isaiah 60, which I'm going to read. And it really challenged me, and because I had the honour of speaking to you this Sunday, I'm afraid that means it gets to challenge you as well. So Isaiah 60, and starting at verse 1, says this: "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness, as black as night, covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance." And even though that is specifically written at the time, prophesied to Jerusalem, I do believe that it can apply to us. And so my challenge was, how can I be that sort of light? How can this apply to me? And how can it apply to all of us? And of course, as we've already been learning with the memory verse that we were doing a little bit earlier, and at this time of year particularly, we think about the one true light, Jesus, coming into the world. And I think that's probably why we traditionally light candles in the countdown to Christmas. If you know another reason, please tell me afterwards. And in John 1, which we heard at the beginning, which is one of the passages we always kind of get in traditional carol services, we hear this. "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus, the one true light for all people and all peoples of the world. The one who came to bring hope and light in the darkest times and the darkest places." And this year, hey, guess what? Once again, we face a Christmas with some uncertainty flying around in this nation and indeed all around the world, with some fear flying around, and maybe fear that is touching some of us here. And it's also a Christmas where the inequalities of the world, remember Jesus came to the world, the inequalities of the world are reinforced with statistics like the one I read the other day in the paper, that over 90% of people in the continent of Africa are completely unvaccinated at the moment, whilst we wait to hear details about our fourth jab. Now, I know there's all sorts of reasons for that, but at the heart of it, there's some stuff there about the injustices and the global inequalities in this world. And yet Jesus came to bring light to everyone. So that's a challenge, isn't it? And it's a challenge for us. It's not something we can just offload onto someone else, and it's not something we can just offload onto God, because Jesus left us with an amazing commission, didn't he? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. Mind-blowing though that is. So we can't just be content with offering up prayers to God saying, do something, unless we are prepared to accept that some of the responsibility for the answers to those prayers may lie with us. Now, what could that look like? I had to think about what the Bible says about light. What does light do? And here is my, by no means exhaustive, I'm sure, but 3-point list about what light does. First of all, and here we go. Light attracts. We heard it in that passage from Isaiah 60, didn't we? Talked about nations, kings coming to your light. Not because of our own innate attractiveness. I only have to look in the mirror to dispel all such illusions. But because of God's glory, it says. Because of God's glory on us and in us. Now, what does God's glory look like? Is it a ready brick glow that we kind of have as we walk around and I see some smiles of recognition and I see some millennials looking totally blank? And apologies to the millennials here, that's a 1970s and 1980s advertising campaign for ready brick cereal. Quite powerful one, actually, as it happens, because I can still remember it. Now, I know there is some biblical precedent for just that kind of thing happening. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, did have apparently some kind of radiance that you could actually see. But I'd also like to draw from something else in the story of Moses. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses says to God, "Show me your glory." And in Exodus chapter 34, God answers that prayer. And it says he passes by Moses. But in answer to the request, "Show me your glory," what does God do? He doesn't say, "Hey, look at my shininess." He declares who he is in his character, and he says, "I'm compassionate, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth, I'm forgiving, and I'm also just." And I think that's a sort of glory and a sort of light that people find attractive. Can we exhibit those attributes and reflect God's glory? Compassion, grace, slow to anger, Andy, next time you're driving. My wife will understand that reference. Abounding in loving kindness, truth, forgiving, just. So, light attracts. Light also guides. As anyone who's used their iPhone torch to find the way, other phones are available to light up either your own way in darkness or sometimes other people's way. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." In Isaiah 59, the prophet's talking about the nation turning their back on God, the state of his nation. And this is what he says. "So there is no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but find only darkness. We look for bright skies, but walk in gloom. We grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble, although it were dark." It's a really potent image, isn't it? Or set of images. The thrust of it is this: when there is darkness, we look for light to guide us. And at a time like this, when there is a lot of darkness around, it wasn't just limited to Isaiah's nation in Isaiah's day. At a time like this, I do believe people are still looking for guidance. How can we serve them and be that light, hold a torch for them to find the way? Not in a kind of a strident, power over, domineering way, telling them what to do, remembering Nigel's talk last week, excellent, by the way, but in a power under, servant-hearted way that just holds the torch for people, holds the light we have for others to see their way. And finally, and probably most famously, light overcomes darkness. It just does, doesn't it? It's a physical fact. It's a fact of physics. When you light a candle in a darkened room, if this was dark and I light that candle, or even if you just switch on an electric light, you don't have a period of struggle between the light and the darkness, do you? With the darkness declaring, I'm not going, and you, the light going, oh yes you are, and the darkness going, oh no I'm not, and the light going,
oh yes you are.
Yeah, the panto time is here, isn't it? And of course we did hear it in John 1. His life brought light to everyone. His life brought the light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, I'm not here talking about, when I talk about overcoming darkness, I'm not talking about intensive intercessory prayer or marching around the room in the key of E minor. Some of you will understand that. And now, and please understand me, I've done all those things and I'm sure I will do them again. I'm just not talking about that here. I'm talking about the fact that just by us being in a situation of darkness, our life can bring light to overcome that darkness. But of course, the point is, we need to be there to bring the light. So the question is to ask God, what situations of darkness do you want to place me in so I can bring light that overcomes that darkness? Just by my life being there. Where can we do that? You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And in that same passage, of course, Jesus talks about, you know, you wouldn't light a lamp and then put a cover over it so you couldn't see. So what will we do to attract others to God's kingdom and to Jesus himself? What will we do to servant-heartedly hold our light to guide others if they're a bit lost? And that could be in all sorts of simple ways. And where can we overcome darkness and bring light by our life? In short, to live like Jesus in this world. Now, I also have a little gift for you. I didn't actually sort this out beforehand. I should have done. Lina, if you could give a bag to someone over here and then pass a bag round over there. I also have a candle for you. It's a different candle. Don't get confused. I'd just like to invite you to do something. One each. There are lots. I just want to invite you to do something this week as a bit of an experiment. And if you find the experiment works, then carry on the experiment longer. I'd just like to invite you to light this candle first thing in the morning. Might mean getting up 5 minutes earlier. And to just for five minutes, as you look at that candle, ask our Heavenly Father the question, where do you want me to go today? How today can I be light that attracts, that guides, that overcomes darkness? And just see what he'll do this week. Would you do that for me? That's one of those rhetorical questions that people at the front ask and they expect an answer that says, yes. If you're saying no, just say it quietly. Father, I do pray that just as we take this simple symbol of the light that you've placed within us, that in this next 7 days you would help us, challenge us, that we can be your light in this world. Amen.